rusty cage and run. When the forest burns along the road, like God's eyes in my headlights. When the dogs are looking for their bones, and it's raining ice picks on your steel shore. I'm gonna break. I'm gonna break my. I'm gonna break my rusty cage and run. I'm gonna break my, gonna break my rusty cage and run. I'm gonna break, I'm gonna break my, gonna break my rusty cage and run. I'm gonna break, I'm gonna break my, gonna break my rusty cage.
was a cold and cruel evening, sneaking up on Speedy Creek. I found myself asleep in the snow. One or two odd reasons I ain't too proud to repeat. For now we'll say I had no place to go. There was a rustle and a humming, just a hauling down the street. I drew myself up from my icy bed, painted on that shiny car the letters RCMNP. I can feel a little aching in my head. And then out jumps this old boy about twice the size of me. He asked me for my name and where I dwell. And I just looked him in the eye and sang Blue Yodel number 9. He didn't catch the reference, I could tell. Then the old familiar click and the handcuffs binding grip. He should have left me in the snow where I lay. He just laughed and touched his gun and turned to me. He said, son, I bet you don't own a damn thing, do you, mate? Well, I got my help, John B. Stetson. Got a bottle full of baby's bluebird wine. And I left my stash somewhere down in Preston, along with 13 silver dollars in my mind. Got my health, my John B. Stetson. Got me a bottle full of baby's bluebird wine. And I left my stash somewhere down in Preston, along with 13 silver dollars in my mind.
Welcome back to Call Me Negotiator. And today we're having our special guest, who is also the first time attending us, Danny. Hello, welcome.
Hello.
Ooh. So yes, like, actually, you know, like, if you've been listening to our show, you know, we're still a very new show. This is the third episode of our going official, so I'm very excited. However, today, this is definitely not the first day that I met Danny. However, this would be the first interview, the first official conversation to know his story. And I have no idea how his story could relate it to our East meets West cross-cultural conversation. And I have no idea how his work could help us to really figure out our way. But I know that he has a lot of story and a lot of skills to make him so far. To hear, yes, Danny, please share a little bit about yourself.
Okay, yeah. Hi, everyone. My name is Danny, and I am the community journalist here at CJSF Radio. I've been a volunteer here as well since about 2018, so a lot of time in this radio station. And before that, I was a student here at Simon Fraser University, got my degree in communication, and honestly, I didn't really know that journalism was kind of the thing for me until pretty late after I graduated. And then I had the opportunity to start working here full-time rather than just being a volunteer, and I've just been so grateful for that opportunity.
Oh, wow. What did you do before? Could you share us a little bit about that?
Mm-hmm. Second mic.
Actually, before we listen to Daniel's story, let's just listen to Shanghai Jazz as we used to do a little bit, and we will get back to you. Okay? Okay.
Thank you. 谁抚过我肩的沉默，想你当离别时的吻，眨眼渺渺渺不出旧梦。
Hello, welcome back to Call Me Negotiator, and this is CJSF 90.1 FM on Burnaby Mountain. So today we're having our guest Danny, and he talked about a little bit about how he got to CJSF and work here as full-time, but he did not prepare his way to here. So let's share a little bit about his story. And today was a very stressful day, but we're good. We landed here finally.
Yes,
yes. So I'm super glad to get this chance to talk to Danny. And I'm pretty sure this is not the only episode where we'll talk to him. So, but yeah, start your story, please.
Yeah. So I started volunteering here back in 2018, like I said. But after I graduated, I didn't have like a super clear idea of what exactly I wanted to do. So I was just kind of looking for any kind of job, any sort of thing that had to do with communication or media or writing. And I became a grant writer for a while. So I worked for this organization that would work with local indigenous communities here in Canada and sort of in collaboration write grant and like funding proposals for them so that they could get the money that they needed for their like infrastructure projects and things like that. And it was good. I did like that job because like of the work that was being done. It was really rewarding, but it was also like a fully remote job, and that is not something that I think I am built for. I think a lot of people love working remotely, and I like fully see why. I love my home, but at the same time, like, I really love being here at CJSF. I love how like every day I come in and there's like a new person that's discovering like their radio voice and what they want to do on air, and I love talking to all the people that come through. So yeah, it's been really rewarding. On the journalism side of things, I love just being able to learn so much about my community that I've grown up in my entire life. You know, I grew up in North Vancouver, but I also spent a lot of time in Burnaby because I went to SFU. So that's been something I've just been really grateful for.
Wow. Here. So you sounds like you didn't take too much detour to get here.
No, not yet. Not an insane.
Not yet.
Not a crazy amount of time wasted before ending up here. But at the same time, like, you know, before I worked this job, I had people asking me like, oh, have you done like any sort of journalism before? And like, I didn't. I think that was something I was really nervous about, is I didn't have this formal journalism background. I was in communication, so I had, you know, experience when it came to academic writing and social media research and things of that nature. But outside of my radio experience, I didn't really know what I was getting myself into when I first started. Thankfully, though, the team here was like really accommodating. I think we were really aligned in terms of the sort of interviews and news content that we wanted for the station. So it was just kind of a matter of like getting comfortable with it all. And I think that's a really cool thing about CJSF, is like you don't need this years of experience to get involved or anything like that. You just kind of show up and say what you want to do, and we're here to help you start that.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree that this place is awesome. That's why I love just doing this in person. Although, you know, you have to travel or commute all the way to here. And
yes.
But like for our audiences from our live streaming, actually, they also love to like see those, how would you say, like things happen instantaneously. Things happen at the moment. They always trying to confirm with me, is it live? Because I know that a lot of people trying to get the benefit of live streaming, and then they put the recorded video. So I mean, like, there's no judgment to people, but like I realize what actually can benefit you doing live is that people wanted to see the real reaction, the real emotion, and interacting with them possibly. So I also love this kind of in-person communication, where also you come to the station and you find so many people just hanging around here, and you talk to them, you get some information and resources, and then you realize, oh wait, this is some new sparkling idea coming in, and that's where we get our inspiration, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, as we're talking right now in the booth, there's like a whole bunch of people just like listening to music outside and talking with each other and sharing their interests. It's really cool that CJSF is a space for just so many different people and perspectives and interests. I, again, always just feel really, really great coming into the station and meeting someone new. And also, I think another aspect of it is I don't really think that there are a lot of spaces like this anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, like I when I speak to a new volunteer who's going on air for the first time, they have all these expectations or these preconceived notions that like, oh, I have to be perfect, you know, like I can't mess up at all. Like I need to make sure that all my talking points are set and that I have my entire playlist set up and I can't have any technical difficulties. And like, that's not what CJSF is about. I think it's really a space for people to fail and mess up, and that's okay, because like those are the ways that you're going to sort of find your voice and find what you're interested in and also improve. There aren't a lot of public ways for people to improve in that kind of space, and I think that's one thing CJSF is really good about.
I totally agree. Actually, I don't think it's just about doing radio here or on air, and it allows you to make mistakes, because I've been doing entrepreneurship for a while, and no matter if you're trying to get a job, pick up a skills, you create content, right? Like I have some clients who come to me and say, hey, I want to do this show. I want to do a broadcasting live streaming show like what you did. I want to create content. And that I've been watching, observing, and I've been trying to think if this thing works. And then I thought about it. I chat with ChatGPT for a while. And then I thought that was probably not a great idea. So, and then I started to think about something else, and I've been observing, and now I find you. I want to pay you to train me, and then I can get from A to B. And I'm like, so this does not work like that. It's like you cannot just have idea in your mind, and then the idea like just kind of alive and die and alive and die in your mind, and you never actually go there. But we have to make mistakes. Everything will be a failure before you achieve success, right? What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just what you said too about people coming up to you and being like, I want to make content.
All right.
That's great. But also, like, what is that content, you know? Like content for content's sake is just, I don't know, to me, I think there needs to be some kind of value that you put into it, no matter what it is. And most of the people that I think come through CJSF, they may not even know exactly like what it is they want to talk about on air. They just know like, I want to go on radio, I want to do this. And it isn't until they actually get to the point where they're hosting a radio show that they realize like, oh, actually, like I really like these genres of music, or I really like talking about this specific topic in general. And yeah, like eventually that gets cultivated as it goes. But like throughout that process, like you do have to mess up and kind of fumble your way up until you get to where you want to go, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I really like the quote is that they always say in Western country, in Western culture, like throw the spaghetti on the wall and see what it sticks, right? That is like actually easy metaphor, but to be honest, when you apply it in real life, you realize that throw spaghetti is go to the real life and try things, right? And then no matter if it's, to be honest, like cross-cultural life experience or cross-industry. Nowadays, we're in the AI era, so we will find a lot of new opportunities to transfer, pick up some new jobs, or we have to. And that way, you know, we cannot be like sit here and while everything is settled, then we go. We have to go there and try. So this is really from my real life experience. By achieving multiple goals, I realize I always feel really, really hard and super confused in the beginning because I have no idea what to do. But then you go, you learn as you go, and you learn from doing it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, is I guess the reason that you interview people on this show, is it because you're someone that wants to gain those perspectives and things like that? Like, is it partly for yourself in that way, kind of?
Well, to answer a question, I realized that the first time I wrote a script and I read it out. So I realized that, it feels like a lesson. It feels like a class. I had to go through that to be able to have a conversation right now, right here. So that was the time that I did that for the first time, but that wasn't the ideal time because I couldn't get really new experience, new ideas or inspirations with other people. Mm-hmm. So I realized I love chatting with people and I just have this natural curiosity when people talk about their story. And then I ask a lot of questions to actually understand what it is. I realized this could be both positive and negative under different contexts, is that I could be really conscientious towards one thing that, like, what it is, like, dig really deep to understand what is the thing that they're talking about. And I was like, why don't I apply this quality or feature to my show, right? And then I was thinking, what my show should, you know, be called. Then I called Me Negotiator because originally I was trying to share some negotiation tips. But then I realized we have audiences from different cultural background. We're in Vancouver, which is multi-diverse cultural land. And that is all different kind of format of negotiation. And that the conversation is like that. So I really wanted to deliver the topic back to you, is that could you share a little bit about how you grow up here,
mm-hmm.
you know, as I guess like non-local person, like how can I say that is like really, please correct me.
I understand what you're trying to say. I grew up in Vancouver. I was born here, specifically North Vancouver, which is its own separate city, but that's like a whole thing that I don't want to get into at the moment, but
maybe we should get to that.
Both my parents are from Iran, so they immigrated here and I was born here, so I've always been a Canadian citizen, but I did grow up in like a very like white area, like a white Canadian area,
right.
That was definitely interesting because, you know, there was always like the predominant culture at school when I would go to it. But then, you know, like I'd get home and it would definitely be like a different thing. Like my mom would be speaking to me in a different language. I feel like it's very stereotypical to be saying this, but there's like the typical experience of the not white kid at a mostly white school coming in with their like lunch that they brought in and just being like feeling like really embarrassed by that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I thought that's only in a US movie. Like
exactly.
American movie.
But I mean like it is a stereotype, but like it is real, you know, like that is something that I think a lot of kids do deal with. You know, and like that, yeah, that was always like an interesting thing. But like at the same time, like English is my first language. Like I did grow up here, so like almost all of my experiences are rooted in North Vancouver and just Vancouver in general. But I always had that other cultural experience.